The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, you may be looking at pictures from Russia, as I did recently, and you look at Moscow. It's a buzz. The neon lights are flashing. The flash cars are also flashing by in great numbers. The people appear to be prosperous. They're wearing the latest fashion gear. How is it done, given the extent of sanctions that have been loaded upon Russia and the Russian economy? Well, joining me now to tell me how this is the case is Yaroslava Kuryukina, senior journalist for the BBC. Yaroslava, good morning.
Good morning. Actually, indeed, you can find lots of Western goods, possibly rebranded in Moscow and other regions of Russia. And this is mainly done thanks to the so-called parallel imports, meaning that Russian partners from the former Soviet Union helping it to kind of stock in those luxurious goods.
Now, explain the extent of the sanctions that the West has imposed. I mean, what is not supposed to be arriving there?
Not luxurious cars, bans on some Western goods like cosmetics, fragrances, lots of things.
So luxury goods, but also all Western technology is banned as well.
Yeah, of course. And not just any technologies, but those that can be used for dual purposes, including to kind of help Russia's war machine going on.
Now,
this particular thing is under special scrutiny from the West. And just yesterday, the US introduced new sanctions targeting in particular companies, particularly in Hong Kong, that do provide Russia with such goods through intermediaries and countries like Kyrgyzstan.
Now, the other ways in which these goods reach Russia through their neighbours, most of them, I presume, are former members of the Soviet Union.
Indeed, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan most often feature in such reports suggesting that they are sanctions violators. But actually, Kazakhstan in particular, it tries to adhere to sanctions kind of on paper. But at the same time, it does provide some goods to Russia. I'm not talking about tech dual-use products, but luxurious goods in particular. And it's worth noting that both Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan's trade with China has increased, and kind of this excess is believed to be going to Russia. And it's facilitated actually by the fact that Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, and some other countries are in the joint customs union, kind of spearheaded by Russia, and there are no customs points, so it's very hard to track where those goods
now,
are headed.
Now, the reason, maybe some countries might not want to do this, but they're doing it because they depend so much for their own economic success on the Russians trading with them, supplying them with stuff and buying their own goods.
Yeah, this is true. And but actually, it sometimes backfires because Kazakhstan, it does have kind of a record inflation. I mean, a record for Kazakhstan, but in particular because of this process. But at the same time, they do benefit from it. And some of those countries' economies are not really doing well. And it does help them, like Kyrgyzstan in particular. But at the same time, again, those goods end up in Russia and do not stay in Kyrgyzstan, and their own population do not have access to them.
Now, the question of, you mentioned earlier that fragrances that are not allowed to be imported, people might buy them, they might be rebranded. But of course, a fragrance is really a brand more than just a smell. You know, people want you to know that they're wearing a particular fragrance. So if they're buying a fragrance that is called, you know, ABC instead of one of the Western brands, it doesn't have the same kudos attached to it, I suppose. People know what fragrance they're really buying when it's sold under a different banner?
Yeah, I'm not talking actually about rebranding of fragrances because some firms like some companies like L'Occitane, they have a Russian naming now. So, but you can easily identify it and say that this is this kind of brand selling cosmetics and fragrances, among other things. But I'm talking about textiles, kind of sports goods. They are now sold not under a well-known name, but under something generic, and is most often supplied from Turkey.
Okay, but so they are all available. And everyone recognizes the brand for what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you mentioned Turkey, Turkey not a member of the EU, but is a member of NATO. What sort of trade is being done from there?
Particularly textiles, as I mentioned, but Turkey is also known as one of those countries actually supplying, helping Russia, not the country itself, but there are some brokers, intermediaries helping Russia get those needed dual-use products for its military machine. The US and the EU are trying to crack down on this, but it's not going smoothly, so to say, but still Hong Kong is believed to be the main violator. Mm-hmm.
Now,
in China.
EU appointed someone to look into sanctions busting. Has that been effective at all?
Actually, gradually, the process, it's not kind of going down completely, but it's getting harder for Russia to get those needed goods, and in particular Turkey, which has welcomed many Russians after the Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's now trying to squeeze them out of the country by introducing some restrictions on foreign tourists, in particular making it harder for them to open bank accounts and make money transfers. So this process is indeed getting harder.
And why is Turkey doing this?
Yeah, because it doesn't want to be the subject of secondary sanctions, and they and actually many countries, including Turkey and Kazakhstan, are open about this. At the same time, the influx of Russians, not only this, but it did lead to great hyperinflation, as you know, which is currently in place in Turkey, and
they've so much money to spend. So if they decide they want to buy a villa or an apartment, they'll pay over the odds, and that pushes the price up for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. This is the case. Yeah, so now they're trying to balance out the market, I mean, Turkey, and this is why. It doesn't only concern Russian tourists, but Russians were particularly targeted because there were so many of them there.
Yeah. Now, it was always thought that it would take time for the sanctions to bite. But we're now more than 2 years into that war. So how long before the Russian economy really feels the pressure from these sanctions?
Oh, it's very hard to say, but actually it does feel the pinch. And in particular, after yesterday's US sanctions on the Russian stock exchange, it will be even harder for Russians based abroad to actually get money out of the country, because I would imagine that now all currency transfers, particularly in dollars and euros, will be very difficult to make. Yeah, so it does affect them.
And is there still international trade in the ruble?
Yeah, but ruble is not as popular as you can imagine. And despite all Russia's attempts to make it kind of the global currency and persuade its partners to trade in rubles, it's still kind of a very marginal share of Russia's trade with its partners.
And the final question is about a Russian export of its energy resources. I mean, they are still on world markets. No, I think we seem to have a communication problem. We will leave it there, that one remaining question. And we know that even if they're not selling directly to Western countries, the availability of those energy assets on the world market means someone will buy them and the revenues will flow into Russia.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.